So one can imagine the structure of Greek and Latin alike here to be what it would be like if instead of saying that people are alive or not alive, we used the expression in English besold or unbesold. It would be as though I say, is your Uncle Harry still besold? Oh, no, he was desold just the other day. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Then we would understand perfectly well what a child might mean when he heard this, Uncle Harry's besold, Uncle Harry got desold, rocks are not ensold. The child might well ask, what is this thing, this soul? And that would be to ask, what is the nature of life? So the question, what is the soul, is for Aristotle simply the question, what's the nature of life? What is it for things to be alive, that is, to exhibit a soul? This book on the soul is written in three books. In book one, Aristotle considers the theory of soul, that is, of life, in his predecessor. In two, he gives an account in general and an account of perception. And in three, he talks about the nature of some of the features of soul that only human beings have, namely thought. What does Aristotle think to be sound in the views of his predecessors? The primary thing that he agrees with in the account that he finds of his predecessors is the understanding of what the soul is meant to account for. That is, he thinks that his predecessors were exactly right in thinking that the characteristic activities that mark out things as alive are fundamentally two: self-motion and some form of perception, or more generally, awareness. That is to say, things that are alive are things that have self-initiated motion in the sense that they can act, they can move in the world in ways that are self-initiated and in ways that also maintain them and keep them together as a single kind of entity. If this sounds to you like the theory of substance, that's exactly right, because Aristotle is always connecting animals with substances. So on the one hand, what we get is a theory of soul that is meant to explain the fact that some things are the sources or principles of their own motion and action. On the other hand, living things exhibit, according to Aristotle, perception or consciousness or awareness. That is to say, they are able not merely to act in the world, but to take in and be affected by the world in ways that are not dumb or blind, but in which they are, as we experience in our own lives, aware of what's happening to us and aware of the world. These two principles, the principle of self-motion, the principle of perception or awareness, are roughly, we might think, the active and passive principles of living things. That is, the principle that allows a living thing to act out in the world and affect the world, and on the other hand, the power that enables living things to be affected by the world in ways that are characteristic of things that are alive. Aristotle perhaps adds or at least refines these general remarks in his remarks in Book 2 by specifying what are the specifically biological functions that are included under these two broad categories. So that's what he's happy with in his predecessors, but what he's unhappy with is as revealing, and it is these two things that bother him. Then they're both versions of the same kind of view that I described earlier as the homunculus, the little person theory of animal reproduction, only now with respect to the general biological theory of the soul in the largest sense. He's unhappy with the view that to account for the motion of living things, many of his predecessors thought that it was necessary that the soul be in motion, as though only a thing that was itself in motion could account for the ability of an animal to move. And Aristotle says that really misunderstands exactly what it's like for something to be a principle of the ability to be in motion. Another version of this, he thinks, is that his predecessors thought that to account for a conscious subject, that is a soul roughly, being capable of perceiving or knowing a thing of a certain sort, it's necessary that the soul be of that same sort, as though understanding, knowing, or being conscious were simply a matter of like being connected to like. These, Aristotle thinks, are, in a sense, a kind of homunculus view of the soul, as though the soul were a little motion perceiving thing inside the body that was doing all the work. as though the soul were something that was itself alive, which when attached to a body, brings life with it. See, that's the connection. If you think that in order to explain motion, the soul has to be in motion, that's going to be connected with thinking that in order to explain life, the soul has to be something which is itself alive.